All right, does anyone have any announcements before we begin worship today? Terry, and I know Eric does.
Good morning. I'm Terry Potter, either out on Zoom. Two things today. One is we will, as we have been usually, we will be having coffee and cookies in the fellowship hall after church. Please feel free to stop by. Secondly, today is our day at Food at First. We cook at 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:30, and then clean up from 5 till whenever we're done, and we serve the meal at 5:45. So come if you can. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Eric Abbott, church moderator. Got a couple of announcements. First, officially speaking, it's my great pleasure to introduce Reverend Fred Lewis to you today as our new interim pastor. Maybe a little anticlimactic since he's already been preaching here before and you all know him. His official first day of work is June 1st. And as many of you know, for many years, he was the senior minister across the street. He retired from that job in 2018, but we've kind of called him back to action. As our interim pastor, he will be three-quarter time, and he will lead our worship activities and be the chief administrative officer for our church staff. He'll work closely with Hannah, who will be continuing to supervise our youth activities and provide pastoral care. Together, they will provide assistance to us as we heal from the loss of our senior minister and will help us as we discern our future needs as a church. In the UCC, an interim minister is a person who provides leadership as the church makes a transition between senior pastors. Reverend Lewis will help us during this time, as I said, by leading our worship and by offering guidance as we form a search committee to assess our future directions and develop a profile to attract candidates for our new senior pastor position. By UCC rules, the interim pastor cannot be considered as a candidate for permanent settled pastor. This is done so that the interim pastor can help us honestly address who we are and what we want going forward. We're very grateful that Reverend Lewis has agreed to serve us during this important time, and I ask for your help in the coming days in assisting him as he becomes familiar with us and our congregation. So, welcome, Pastor Fred. Second announcement. As many of you know, Pastor Hannah has played a key role in holding our church together during this transitional time. She is our hero, and I want to take just a moment to recognize her today as we move into a new interim pastorate. Imagine her life over the past year. The phone rings. Hannah, I'm calling you because I don't know who else to call right now. Hannah, who should take care of this right now? Pastor Hannah, who's going to be preaching? Who's going to be reading liturgy? Who's going to be planning our worship? Pastor Hannah, Harvey fell Tuesday. He's in the hospital. Can you come and visit him? Pastor Hannah, somebody stopped into the office asking for help with utility bills. What should we do? You know, our call agreement with Pastor Hannah didn't include almost any of those things. But at this transitional time, she has stood up for us and held us together as a congregation in ways that are amazing and inspirational. When you add it all up, she's been working well over full time. So, at this transitional time, when yet more challenges await us down the line, and on behalf of all of us, I want to recognize her contributions and thank her for her commitment. She has truly walked the walk for us all. I also want to recognize Nathan and his support for her and the family during this difficult time. I'm sure Hannah's phone will continue to ring, and I'm sure that she will continue to step up as needed. but I will count this transition as successful if she can be relieved of some of her heavy responsibilities and focus more time on family and herself. So Hannah, on behalf of all of us, bless you for all you have done and will continue to do. Thank you.
Okay. Stop. Thank you. Okay.
You have announcement. Come on up.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. All right, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Barbara Fadley, and I just wanted to remind all of you, there is no Bible study this week, so please don't try to log on to Zoom, because we're not going to be there. We're going to start the following week with our study of 12 women of the Bible.
Very nice. All right, and hopefully Pastor Fred will be joining you for that, right? Eventually, right, of course. So no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, we're so glad you're here to worship with us today. Let us ring the bell and we'll prepare to worship.
If you're able to stand, and I invite you to do so as we come further into worship. Oh, my friends, praise God who has raised Jesus Christ to reign in power. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with flute and harp.
Praise God with tambourine. Praise God with strength.
Let everything that breathes praise God. With many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Christ's glories now we sing, who now is raised on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully hear the sight, but downward bend their burning eyes as mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for you have died for me. Your praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. And with one voice, let us pray together. Great and loving God, we who come to worship are also persons who sometimes feel that you have abandoned or left us to fend for ourselves. Although we rely on your constant presence, we suspect your absence. Encourage us, O God, when we doubt your promise to be with us always. In our worship, grant us the gifts of discernment and hope. Enable us to recognize your workings everywhere we go and every day. Open us to faith and help us to perceive not only what is, but also what, by your grace, might be. Amen. You may be seated. And as we gather today with all of the joys and the cares of this world, I know on probably all of our minds is the horrible shooting there in Uvalde, Texas. And as people of faith, we come together to remember and to do what we can do. I would encourage you, if you're not called an elected legislator, that you perhaps do. It's one way that we do put prayers and thoughts into action. Action. One of my friends, who's a songwriter, penned these words I'd like us to hear as we move into the time of confession this morning. It's a song entitled, God Weeps. God weeps at love withheld, at strength misused, at children's innocence abused. Until we change the way we love, God weeps. God bleeds at anger's fist, at trust betrayed, at women battered and afraid. Until we change the way we win, God bleeds. God cries. God cries at hungry mouths, at running sores, at creatures dying without cause. Until we change the way we care, God cries. God waits. God waits for stones to melt, for peace to seed, for hearts to hold each other's needs, until we understand the Christ, God waits. Let us each move into a time of prayer of confession. May this prayer be one for all and for each of us as individuals. O most gracious God, you encourage us with your love, bringing new life out of death. We confess that we need your life-giving power in our lives and in our relationships. We have hurt others, and have we been hurt by them? We're often angry and afraid. We're not sure when to voice our needs and when we are to care for others' needs. We continue to live in ways which do not lead to peace and justice. Forgive us, O God. Pour out your Holy Spirit of wisdom and healing upon us, that by our lives and by our loving, we may glorify you through Jesus Christ, the risen one. Sisters and brothers, hear these words of assurance. For all who have come believing in Christ as the way, there is rest from your fruitless labors, forgiveness of your sins, and the guarantee of eternal life. Let us then continue our journey of faith through the grace of Jesus Christ. Yes, glory be to God. Amen. And now let us exchange our words and our signs of peace and affection as a Christian community this day.
Are you ready? I'd invite any children or children at heart to join me up front for the children's celebration.
Thank you.
morning. I'm wondering this morning, what is something that you love? Like, you love it so much, you can't imagine living your life without it. Anybody? Celia? Cats! Krista likes that a lot. Look at her. Krista likes it. What about our friends on Zoom? If you want to put it in the chat, what you love so much. Drew, what do you love so much you can't live without it? What? Wait, what did you say? Pokemon! Of course! I know lots of people in my family could not live without Pokemon either, or cats, to be honest. Sadie, what is something you love so much, so much? Candy? I'm with you, sister. Yeah. What kind of candy? Cotton candy. Now, I'm not with you on that, but yes, cotton candy. Do you like cotton candy too? Eli, what's something you love so much you can't live without it? Friends, yes. Miss Sunny, what's something you love so much? Oh, please. She said this congregation. She can't live without these people. Lydia, what about you? What's something you love so much? What is it? Flamingos. Can't live without flamingos because they're so pretty, aren't they? Yeah. What about you, Pastor Fred?
Flowers.
No one on our Zoom is telling me what they love so much. All right. I want to tell you a story. In our scripture today, we're going to hear about Jesus. And one thing that Jesus loves so much that he can't live without is each of us. And so he promises to go to a place where we can all be together with Jesus again someday, which is really cool because he doesn't want to live without us. And that's why we come here to this place with these people, these congregation members that we can't live without, right? So that we can be together to hear these stories, so that we know Jesus and God is with us each and every day, even when we're so afraid, because God loves each of us so much. So can we pray? Gracious God, we do give you thanks for cats and for flowers and cotton candy and Pokemon and flamingos and friends, and especially this congregation, for all the things that make our life so rich and whole and fun and good. And we especially give you thanks for all the love that you give us. And all God's kids say,
amen.
All right, this morning our first scripture comes from the book of Acts, book 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and the disciples were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
And now here's the gospel according to Luke. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what the Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Then Jesus led the disciples out as far as Bethany. Lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the risen Christ. Praise be to Christ. Amen. Well, welcome. Welcome all of you that got up in time to be here this morning. Welcome to you that are watching online. I want to thank Eric for the nice introduction. Little did I know when I was invited to preach, you know, earlier this year, that I would make the journey to where I am today and to look forward to being with you in the many weeks ahead. I have fond affection for this congregation as a neighbor, and I just look with anticipation and with some sense of excitement about what God is doing and what God will be doing. And I join Eric in great thanks to Hannah. One of the reasons I said yes was because I respect and value Hannah so much and for what she has been doing for this congregation. And I certainly, Hannah, I hope to alleviate some of the work you have had to carry. And as I told Hannah, we're going to be a team. So Hannah's not going anywhere. And I may be one of the first to phone her, but I was so glad to see how you value Hannah, and I'm so glad how you value all of your staff, as I've been observing through the years. This is Memorial Day weekend, and as we gather here today, many of us may be making our ways out to cemeteries. I grew up where this was Decoration Day. I grew up with a family that made the annual trip around, learning about my ancestors and those who had gone before us. So as we gather today, may the memory of the saints be with us. Now today, whether you know it or not, it's the last Sunday of the church season of Easter. These appointed scriptures just lead us into letting us know that this is Ascension Day. You and I have been living through what church tradition calls, we've been living through the great 50 days of the resurrection. So how has that felt to you? Today's scriptures from Acts and Luke come at the very end of the Easter season for the church, and yet they offer us a story, surprisingly, about new beginnings. Now, how is that for timing? After visiting his disciples and followers briefly, Christ doesn't stay with them. He leaves them. But before he leaves, he gives them a mission. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And then Jesus ascends into the heavens. Now that surely is a scene for our imaginations. The ascension of Jesus is one of the Bible's great stories. It's another one of those great Bible stories for us, just like the parting of the Red Sea, or David and Goliath, or the birth stories of Jesus, or the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of those stories we can really work hard to just try to imagine. Artists throughout the centuries have their paintings of the Ascension. Rembrandt's view is a classic. In Rembrandt's painting of the Ascension, the disciples are in the shadows looking like they want to grab hold of Jesus' feet to try to keep him on earth, while the child angels are pushing Jesus heavenward towards the great light. This is a terrific scripture story, but with our modern minds, with our 21st century reasons, we most likely have to struggle to understand and to find the meaning of these scriptures. I mean, we can very well ask ourselves, oh, how in the world is this relevant for us today? Given everything going on in the world and in our lives, what in the world is God trying to say? Why was this so significant for the church? And why should it have meaning for us? Now, although I understand this story largely to be metaphorical, I can somewhat imagine what the disciples must have been feeling as they watched Jesus leave them. They must have surely been once again feeling grief. And even more, perhaps they are again feeling very fearful. Have any of you sitting here today, have any of you ever had to say a final goodbye to someone that was really tough on you and on your heart? It was a farewell that just ripped you apart. I have. Recently, my best friend in the whole world just saw his life partner and husband of 30 years die. And he and I have had our share of phone calls. Sometimes he will call me and just sob and ask me to hang on until he can get composed. He recently said to me something that hit my heart. He said to me, you know, I know that Lee has died, and he died very well, but now I think he ought to come back and take his vows. He needs to come back. I've heard so many similar comments from widows and widowers through my years of ministry. I imagine Christ's followers standing there for a few minutes looking around and then realizing they have to get over it. They must quickly decide how they're going to get about the business of moving on, of fulfilling the mission that they have just received. Oh, no one watching them that day could have guessed what an astounding thing had happened when all of a sudden they stopped looking into the sky and really started looking at each other instead. But in the days to come and the years to follow, it would become apparent what had happened to them. Jesus loved his disciples. So why did he have to leave? I think he leaves because if he had stayed around, they would never have been able to grow in their understanding of God and of their mission in this world. If Jesus had stayed, they would always be looking for him to perform the next miracle, to say the next right word, to touch the hem of his garment. If you remember rightly in the Gospels, Jesus never tried to draw attention to himself. His concern was always for the disciples and for their development and growth in faith of God. For for that to have a chance of really happening, Jesus had to remove himself bodily. He loved his disciples, but he wanted them to grow up. Every person, surely every mother and father here today, you can relate to the Jesus who leaves room for his loved ones to mature. No doubt we all know families, and it's painful to see them, where the parents linger so close and for so long in the lives of their children, well into adulthood, that the children really are not given room to be themselves. When a parent says, after all I've done for you, the least you could do, you know, you fill in the blank. When I hear such language, I feel as if the family had perhaps failed a bit. A primary purpose for a family is to allow enough room for their children to grow up and to become what God is calling them to be. There are families whose members simply will not let each other go. Now, it's good to be close, but each family also needs room to fly and let God's Spirit fill their wings. Jesus knew this about his disciples. That may be the one main theological function of this story of the ascension. It was time. It was time for the disciples to be out on their own. Once out of the Jesus nest, the disciples had to look at each other and say, well, what are we going to do? It's a good question to be allowed to ask. What are we going to do? What's next? Some people never get to ask it because all their decisions are made by someone older or with more authority. That's why Jesus ascended. That's why he got out of the way, to help disciples everywhere and in all times to discover that the Christian mission is now in their hands. With nothing but a promise and a prayer, those 11 disciples consented to be the church, to become the body of Christ on earth. And nothing was ever the same again, beginning with them. Those followers became leaders. Those listeners became preachers. Those converts became missionaries. Those who had been healed by following Jesus became healers themselves. They stopped looking into heaven and looked at each other instead. And they got on with the mission of being the church. This Sunday, at the end of the glorious Easter season, Jesus gives to us, just as he gave his astounded followers, a very clear mission statement for the church. You will be my witnesses. The church is most like the church when it witnesses to the love of God in Christ in this world. That is the main thing. And for the church to really grow and thrive, like I know we all hope it will, we need to remember the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. So let's rehearse it again today. What is the main thing for us to show and tell? What are we to be witnesses of? The great commandment. To love God, to love neighbors, that's the main thing. In the closing chapters of John's Gospel, hours before Jesus is betrayed and put to death, Jesus is found offering his disciples in that upper room what I kind of have thought to be his commencement address. He reminds them, saying, to love one another as I have loved you. He keeps it very simple. He says, I love you. Abide in my love. And how do you abide in my love? by loving each other, by laying down your lives for each other. You are my friends. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I chose you. Now go and bear fruit. And don't forget to love each other. What is it that we need to know and learn most from all of our pursuits in this life? Love. That we are loved and that we are to love. God wants nothing more than to watch you and I grow into our own wonderful, unique, sometimes quirky selves. And God's love, God's eternal love, frees you and I to do just that, both in this life and in the life to come. When you know that you are loved, you will grow and bloom and flourish as the person only you were created to be. Your life will be God's gift to this world, and it'll be one beautiful gift. Love. Love is the main thing. Loving God. Loving neighbor. When we keep the main thing, it really has the power to change the universe from ourselves to Christ. When we love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, it changes what we do and how we do it. We'll do things for love that we wouldn't do for any other reason. I mean, haven't you known people who will do extravagant things for people they love? Like driving distances to just be together, or spending money on flowers and gifts, devoting days of hard labor to help someone do a task that really wasn't a lot of fun. Oh, friends, at times we do crazy, wonderful things for those we love. Think of the things you have done for a friend or a relative or a spouse or a child. The extravagance, the generosity of your actions may have seemed excessive or undeserved to those who were standing about watching. But your actions came from an overflowing wellspring of love deep inside of you, from a heart full of love. Likewise, love for God. Love for God will cause you to do things we would not necessarily do in ways that we might not do them for people we don't even know. That's keeping the main thing the main thing. It's amazing the things we will do for love. Over the past few months, I've had conversations with a person who has had plenty of questions about the church and about religion in general. He recently asked a question that I have heard before in my years of working in the church. He asked me, "How do I really start to believe in God?" My reply was pretty simple. It was to wake up and to start every day thanking God for the beauty of this fresh new day that is dawning. Thank God. I like to believe there is spiritual value in saying the words from the Psalms, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it." Begin every day with a passion for God, intentionally and purposefully believing that you're going to have an experience of God sometime during that day. I also mentioned to him to just be thinking about how you can express, how you can show and tell God's love to others around you. Look for ways that you can be loving and kind and generous and hopeful and encouraging. Believe God is right at your side, walking with you. That's how you start to believe in God. I'm humbled and inspired every year when we come to this day, this Ascension Day and the story. I'm humbled and I am inspired to believe that Jesus loves us enough, and Jesus has enough faith in us to be Christ's witnesses to this world and to carry on the work of Christ, the work of love. This main thing is something every child, every youth, every adult, no matter who they are or where they are on this path of life, something they can do. So, even before you leave the doors of this church building today, take a moment. Take a moment to look up, look around, look really at one another, and then get busy being witnesses of love. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Live your lives in love. Amen.
And now is the time when we can come together and pray with each other in this space. If you have a joy or concern that you would like to lift up, go ahead and raise your hand. Just a reminder, if you are comfortable, if you could say your name first so that our friends on Zoom know who's praying.
Hi, this is Laura Deal. I have a joy. My sister-in-law, Diane, is finally going to get her surgery, which hopefully will get her back on track. She's having surgery on the 1st of June.
Okay.
And I want prayers for healing and to guide the surgeons and nursing staff and everyone to help.
And will that be in Iowa City?
It's going to be in Iowa City, yes.
Hi, this is Krista Anderson, and I just want to mention a friend of Terry's and mine. His name is Harold Martin, and his family, his wife and kids and all grandkids. Harold has gone to the hospice house here in Ames, and we just pray for a smooth transition and for peace and comfort for his family.
Welcome, Fred. It's a blessing to have you. George Palitzos, I'd like a prayer for my husband, Peter. He is on June 10th going to have spinal surgery. He has to have a fusion on several vertebrae in his neck, and he's already lost 50% of his strength on his right side. So hopefully that will be recovered. When you all come to Hobbits Hill for service at the end of June, you'll see him in a neck brace. So It's a hard one. He has to wear for 6 months. No, six weeks. 6 weeks is hard enough. Also, something else you'll see, and this is a blessing, we have a new baby llama.
Ah. Anyone on Zoom? Oh, yes. Okay, so the prayer requests are not coming through the audio, so I'm just going to repeat what was said quick, Jared, okay? So Diane Deal, Laura Deal's sister-in-law, is finally having her surgery in Iowa City this week. Peter Wolf, George Belitzo's husband, is having spinal surgery. Is it this week, George? The week after this week. And a friend, Harold, of Krista and Terry, has entered hospice, and so they'd like prayers of peace and comfort for his family. And there's a joy of new life with a baby llama at Hobbits Hill. All right, Jared.
Okay, so Jared Walter, and I just wanted to report back that my dad has undergone a couple rounds of bladder cancer treatment, and it's gone well for him.
Great.
I spoke to him this morning, and he's not having a whole lot of side effects and things like that. So I really appreciate the prayers of the congregation for my dad, Pete. And I'd also just like to say that I have, you know, I know we all have been keeping up on the news with what's going on in the country of Ukraine with the Russian forces coming in and occupying more land in the east, and with so much conflict and just all-out war going on in that part of the world. Prayers for them and for refugees, not just in that part of the world, but all over. Even in our own community here in Iowa.
Yeah. So Jared Walter, like, continued prayers for his dad, Pete, who's undergone chemotherapy and it's going well, and for Ukraine and for the conflict just in the world with refugees and safety for people.
I'm Barbara Fadley, and I had a telephone call from Trudy Dirks on Friday, and she is recovering quite well. She's doing lots of therapy at Northridge, and if things go as predicted, she will be coming home this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. So I had that, yeah, that Trudy's doing well. Also, Lindsay Gomez had contacted me this week. Her friend Kate has been diagnosed with cancer and is just really scared, and so Lindsay wanted us to pray for Kate. And in the chat on Zoom, Debbie Barr would like prayers for courage. Wednesday, she needs to go in for another mammogram after her annual one this year was inconclusive. Are there other prayers?
My name is Jan Lee, and I'm just torn up over what happened in Texas. And my prayers are not specifically for the children, because I know that they're safe in the arms of Jesus. But my prayers are for the families who will never be whole again.
Yeah.
And as Pastor Fred said, they need our love, even from afar, and even though we're not known to them.
Yeah. Jan Lee, just continued prayers for the families in Texas and the community. Well, let's be together in a time of prayer. Oh God, for the families who have lost a child this week, or a mom, or an aunt, or a neighbor, or a friend, we just lift up our hearts. When there are no words, we just sit with you, oh God, in the silence. So let us be now just in a moment of silence where we can devote all of our prayers and energy to those families. We trust that you, God, are with each of them as you are with each of us in our pain and our anger and in our voice. surrounding us and giving us peace. And help us to be people that offer peace to others, or as Pastor Fred said, right, to just continue to love our neighbors and to use love as an action in our life. We continue to pray for healing for Peyton and for Pete, for Trudy and Kate, for Diane and her upcoming surgery, as well as Peter with his. We pray for Debbie, not only to have the courage for her upcoming mammogram this week, but that you would just be there with her during that test and with her as she waits for those results, that your healing would already be on her body to make things well, and that her results would be accurate so that moving forward, she can know exactly what to do. May she have just a confidence that you're with her through this entire process, as are all of we. We pray continued prayers for the Schoenfeld and McHenrys on this day as they're getting ready for Ben's graduation from high school today, mixed with the grief that they're experiencing, that you would just be healing and present in their lives. We pray for Krista and for Terry as they're getting ready to lose a friend. We pray for Harold during his time at hospice that things would go peacefully into your care, that your peace and comfort would just be washed over his family during these precious moments and during this time. And we give you thanks for the new life at Hobbits Hill and that baby llama, and for the joy of being able to gather there again this year in person. And God, we just ask that you hear our prayers lifted with the many prayers across the world on this day for the destruction and the violence in Ukraine, for the refugees there, as well as everywhere across this world and this nation and even in this community, that there would be resources available, that there would be people with a hand or an ear and a heart to help them out, that we would be people that would welcome others and be problem solvers and lift our voices to help and love our neighbors, as we have been asked to do by you. And we pray together, God, that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you'd please stand as you are able for our final hymn.
Sing new hymns throughout the world shall ring. Christ by a way before untrod ascends unto the throne of God. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. The holy angels now proclaim, this is the Christ triumphant day. And gathered faithful followers see their Lord ascend in majesty. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. You are a present joy, O Christ. sacrificed. You are while endless ages run with God and Spirit ever one. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And now go forth to love and serve God in all that you do. Bear witness to the love of God in this world, so that those to whom love is a stranger will find in you generous friends. May the love of God, the peace of Christ, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.